Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Yeah, Greg Redfern, WTOP space reporter.
Yes, you've heard him on the air all the time. And what other titles would you say outside of TOP?
Well, one I'm very proud of is since 2003, Jason, I've been a NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory Solar System Ambassador and go out and speak on behalf of NASA about all things NASA, space missions, and all kinds of cool universe stuff.
Yeah, the sky guy, as you
were. Yeah, that's it. I'm and, big on Twitter and Facebook.
Of course, our listeners have heard you over the years talking all things NASA and space. And so, of course, the reason I wanted to have you on is because there's, you know, usually I'm the one reviewing the movies, but I thought we'd do a unique take here and bring in the expert to talk about the new movie, Don't Look Up, the sci-fi kind of black comedy ish, if you will, by Adam McKay. It's, you know, he's directed a bunch in recent years. Well, actually, I think I remember him doing like Anchorman and some sillier lowbrow comedies in the beginning, but he sort of shifted into more, how do you say, like political stuff. You know, I believe he did that Dick Cheney movie Vice a couple years
ago. Vice. Yeah. He did Ant-Man. He did, what was the other one? The short, I think he got an Academy Award for that.
The Big Short.
Yep.
And of course, Talladega Nights. So yeah, he can do it all. He can do sort of the lowbrow and the higher brow comedy, I guess. But before we get too far in then about, you know, Adam McKay's film, Don't Look Up. Tell us the basic premise, because it hits theaters for a limited release December 10th, and then it goes wider, you know, streaming on Netflix on Christmas Eve. But what's the basic, you know, storyline?
Basic storyline is two astronomers discover a very large comet that once they calculate the orbit from it, they determine, hey, this thing is headed to Earth and it's an almost 100% certainty it's going to impact the Earth with a extinction level event.
Wow. Well, that description alone, I mean, compare it to say like Armageddon or Deep Impact or some of those classics.
You know what? You're right up the alley there, Jason, because all right, here's another common impact movie, but unlike the other ones, this one really gets into the way that they discover it. We actually get to see a real ground-based telescope in action. We get to see real comet images from one that we reported on that passed a couple years ago, NEOWISE, and it shows them going through the process of determining, this thing's going to hit. And then what do we do about that? Who do we notify? And they go through this very interesting process of trying to communicate with government and the public about what is going to happen.
Right.
What a wild ride.
So is it, you know, whereas an Armageddon was mostly in space, I mean, he had some of the flat, you know, down here with Billy Bob Thornton in NASA, but that was more of action in space. But is this one, I assume, is at least from the trailers, it looks like it's more grounded. It's more about the social political stuff going on down here.
Absolutely, Jason. There is some space sequencing in this. But the majority of it is the journey from the time of discovery. And we're not going to give anything away, but to the end of the movie, how these two scientists try to get the word out and how modern day, this is set in modern day. You could say today, this is modern day, and how society, politics, and people react to this in terms of our present day condition of humanity. Quite the commentary there, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, go more into the commentary because, you know, as you're describing that, you know, these scientists who've spent their lives studying something and are trying to warn the world about a looming, you know, cataclysmic event that could wipe out much of the world. Sounds very similar to, you know, what we've been going through the last couple of years. You know, we have a pandemic, we have scientists who've based their whole lives on this, try to warn people. And there's a large section of the public sounds like that they think they're the experts that, quote, go do your research on Facebook and spreading sort of misinformation and stuff. So how much does sort of our current situation or current politics, you know, I'm sure there's even some Make America Great Again stuff in here, right?
Well, let's put it to you this way. There is a president that's played by Meryl Streep. She has some interesting qualities that people may pick up to recent presidents. There are political rallies that would seem very similar to a certain party's recent events. But the thing that really got to me was how the politicization of the comment actually led to how the movie was titled. Don't Look Up is the response, the politicalization of the comet by this particular, and it's never named, political party that has members wearing red and white lettered caps saying, don't look up, don't look up. And they finally realize when the comet appears in the sky at a political rally, hey, you've been lying to us all the time. Fascinating to see, Jason. Fascinating.
Okay, so basically, there's the title then. Don't Look Up is sort of a it's a
insult.
Willful ignorance. Let's bury our heads in the sand kind of an.
And you know what? Just like other things in our recent life, we can say and deny all that we want. But the science shows that whatever we're dealing with, whether it be a pandemic or a comet, it's going to keep coming no matter what humans think.
Oh, I hear you 100%. So I assume it's safe to say then that this will be a movie that let's say, you know, a certain side of the aisle will probably enjoy more than the other based on its pretty blatant parallels there. it's pretty critical, right?
Yeah, very, very possible, Jason. But it's still there were times that the movie made you laugh. There were times when the movie made you kind of stop and think. And I'm not going to give away the ending, but I have to say in the ending, I was touched by the involvement of Leonardo and Jennifer and some of their support cast on how they dealt with it at the end. To me, it was very touching. But the whole thing too is that we really see the power of social media in this film, Jason. We also see what people are talking about now with big technology. And there is one scene, and this is the actor that played the Russian spy in Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks. He does a great job.
Mark Rylance.
Yes. He does a great job as the third most rich man in the history of the planet as big technology. And he has all of humanity in his hands. And people are going to see some parallels to current thoughts on big tech with that.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you just mentioned Mark Rylance. He is only one of many, many Oscar winners in this film. So talk about sort of the star-studded cast. Does it? I know you're more of a space guy, but, you know, list some of the actors. But does it ever get overcrowded, or do they all sort of, you know, have their own, you know, time on screen?
They all have their space. And Leonardo as the astronomer and Jennifer Lawrence as the PhD candidate, they were wonderful. Meryl Streep, oh, I can not love Meryl Streep or Jonah Hill, for goodness sake. You know, Ron Perlman comes in as a space cowboy. I mean, oh boy, it was pretty neat. And then what was very fun to watch was Tyler Perry and Kate Blanchett as two anchors in a take your pick of what variety TV trash show you want to name it, talking to Leonardo and Jennifer. Oh, it's precious. It really is. That was part of the laughs.
Oh, and we also get, you know, Timothée Chalamet and Rob Morgan. I mean, the thing is stacked. So
it is.
Well, that's really, really cool. Yeah, I mean, it'll be.
And our own John Aaron. Our own John Aaron is in it. We
have to say.
Him, but we couldn't find him.
Yeah, our WTOP's own reporter slash anchor, John Aaron, he's for years he's been doing, you know, some small acting parts and some cameos, some extra work in some major movies.
In the credits.
Yeah. So wait, you went to an advanced screening with John, right? And you guys waited and tried to find him?
Yes. We sat two seats apart watching the movie.
Neither of you were able to spot his appearance?
No, but I tell you what, where they had the crowd scenes, Jason, it was fast and furious. You know, you're trying to take everything in. We're looking for him, and we didn't. So we're going to have to kind of go back and do a little bit more of a review to see where we can pick him out. But he's in the credits.
It might be one of those things. Go to the theater, take it in as an overall experience. But then later when it hits Netflix and we have the beauty of a pause button, we might be able to have to pause it and try to do some freeze frames.
You got it, Jason.
Find John's face in the crowd.
But I want to see it again. I mean, it's one of those movies where there's so much going on and stuff like that. And boy, oh boy. And this is a tip. Like the Avenger movies, you have to stay all the way through the end of the credits to get a very, very important scene to know, add to the movie, just like they do with Avengers. You know how they kind of sneak that stuff in at the credits at the very end, important scene there.
Oh yeah, the Marvel movies are.
We were the only two that stayed behind, quite honestly, Jason. It was only John and I to see that part of the movie at the very end. And I was sticking in there to see who the advisors were.
Right.
I interviewed the astronomy science advisor, Dr. Amy Mainzer, for the film.
Yeah, let's go into that before we run. Hey, thanks for the tip about the post-credits teasers. Yeah, that's the Marvel formula, but that's cool. Everybody, that's good. That's a good tidbit. Everyone stick around. But yeah, you just mentioned before we run that you interviewed one of the actual science advisors. So, you know, when Hollywood sets out to make a movie like this, they want it to be, you know, even though it's a comedy, they want it to be as, you know, scientifically accurate as possible. So who is it that you spoke with?
Yeah, Dr. Amy Mainzer, who used to be with NASA, and as a matter of fact, she got asked by NASA headquarters back in 2019 to become the advisor for this movie. And then she transitioned over to University of Arizona in their School of Planetary Science. She is one of the most esteemed astronomers in all the world on the threat of cometary asteroid impacts and missions designed to detect them and to defend against them. So we did a Zoom interview and I talked to her, and she was very, very impressed by the quote, smart people that she dealt with in the cast, as well as Adam McKay. She said they knocked themselves out to try to convey the science language, as well as what scientists do to try to get the facts right and to communicate them to the public. And that comes through in the movie.
So they really, quote, scienced it up accurately.
They really did. Now, she did say, being a sci-fi movie, there are points where they kind of get away from reality because they have to. That's perfectly legit. But as far as the discovery itself, a real telescope, real science lingo like the Oort cloud. And the other thing that was pretty impressive to me was how they kind of went into, man, what are we going to do about this? And they kind of talked about NASA's Planetary Defense Coordination Center, which really does exist. And the whole thing kind of goes into this story of how these two astronomers' lives get changed because of what they end up doing. And one important thing that Dr. Mainzer wanted to get across to our audience, Jason, is that the threat of a cometary impact is very, very, very minimal. To quote her, you don't need to go out and get comet insurance. You know, we keep an eye on the sky. We monitor. And if something pops up, you know, we decide if it's a threat or not. But this is a very, very, very unlikely event in foreseeable 100 plus years.
What is the, when you say very, 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 very minimal, what are we talking, like percentage chances, or, you know, is there an actual number you can tag on it?
I'd probably have to look that one up. I can't, but I can say this, that NASA and a worldwide effort monitors our skies every single clear night. And we just launched the DART mission that I talked about, that is a deflection mission for an asteroid. And comets are pretty big. Like in the movie, this is a pretty big comet. We'd be able to see this guy way out there. And like the movie says, this comet is coming in from the Oort cloud, which is over a trillion, that's with a T, Jason, trillion plus comets. But they are so far out there. The solar system's so big that it is very, very minimal that we would be at a threat of an impact of a comet this size.
Well, that's good to know. Well, it sounds like a fascinating movie. Our listeners, I'm sure, will love it. What if you had to draw, you know, some comparisons? I mean, we've done Armageddon and Deep Impact and that kind of stuff. But would you also say anything like, you know, maybe like Day the Earth Stood Still or Dr. Strangelove? Like, what would you sort of compare it to?
You hit it right on, Jason. You know, I'm an old sci-fi lover. I love movies, period. But, you know, this movie reminded me of The Day the Earth Stood Still, the 1951 version, not the 2000.
The real one. The one with Robert Wise directing it long before West Side Story and Sound of Music.
Yeah. So that movie, as well as Dr. Strangelove, both of which were commentaries on the state of humanity at the time in which the films were made, by, you know, Strangelove by Stanley Kubrick, Wise with The Day the Earth Still, and they were very, very poignant and dead on target as to where we were as humanity. I think that no matter what your view of the world is, if you go into this objectively and look at its treatment of social media, of the power of big technology, of how science is with us always, as Dr. Mainzer says, and that scientists try to communicate the facts regardless of what those facts are, this movie's spot on.
Awesome. Well, you heard it here from the expert, Greg Redfern, to go check it out. It's called, again, it's called Don't Look Up. It gets a limited release in theaters on Friday, December 10th, and then expands wider streaming on Netflix on Christmas Eve. So, hey, Greg, thanks so much for doing it.
Always a pleasure, Jason.